you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. I just want to share with you about responding to difficult times. And I hope you realize we're in difficult times. There's a lot of things that are happening in the natural. There's a lot of things that are happening in those spiritual realms. There's a lot of activity in the heavenlies that is going on and that you're battling with. Sometimes we don't realize that the interference that is coming from those places that you cannot see. But lots of things are happening right now. So 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5, I'm going to use this as our starting point. It says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud and scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that." Father, I just pray that you would just direct us today. And Lord, what we need to hear. And I just pray that, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to each of our own spirits here today. And that, Lord, we will hear what the Spirit is saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you read this passage of Scripture, we're being reminded that there will be difficult times. There will be hard times. There will be dire times before the return of Christ. And as we look around us and as we are reading that portion of Scripture, I think you're probably able to contemplate in your own mind that, hey, that's today. That's right now that we're seeing all of these things. And certainly we need to be paying attention to what is happening around us in the physical realms, but also in that spiritual realm as well. I know in the natural, it's kind of a hard thing to kind of get a true picture of all that is happening through our media sources that are out there. But to me, if you just look around in our own places that we live, it's not really that difficult to see a lot of issues and a lot of things that are happening that are not good. And unfortunately, sometimes difficult and uncertain times can bring out the worst in people instead of the best out of people. And unfortunately as well, you know, that's something that you see even throughout history when people were facing difficult times. And during those difficult times, you'll see there were many terrible things that were done to fellow human beings. There were terrible things done even in the name of religion in our history as well. And so history doesn't always, or difficult times don't always bring out the best in society. And once again, we're kind of seeing that happening before our very eyes. Now, the Bible warns us that there will be difficult times in our world. And as we draw closer to the return of Christ, those difficulties and those responses will intensify. And, right now, it's easy to say that, hey, we see everything that's in those scriptures happening before our very eyes. And the reason that the Bible tells us about these things that are happening is that we might be prepared and that we might realize the time that we're living in and also to prepare ourselves for that time. And, we do see that people today basically are caring about themselves, loving themselves, loving pleasure. Pleasure's becoming supreme today. And where people really don't care about the rest of society, long as things are good for them, they really don't care about the rest of society. Money, love of money, consuming people. We see so much arrogance today and pride and boasting. People being disrespectful towards one another, even to their own friends and families. And even hatred, even in the area of people of faith. I don't know if you really realize it, but if you are paying attention to all the news things and things that are happening, being a Christian right now is not a popular thing. And the media is really attacking Christians right now. And, you know, nothing is sacred anymore, just as the Bible says. We have a society that is becoming very anti-Christian, anti-faith of any kind. And we also are seeing more ungratefulness, people slandering one another, angry with one another, hateful, cruel, vicious. Crime is really getting out of control. And society is really getting worse instead of getting better. But as I said last week, when we see that, to me, that also shows us, and throughout history, that also is a time of a breakthrough. Now, many of us may be looking for the coming of the Lord, but I believe there's going to be first a coming where there's a return to faith in Jesus Christ. But even so, we need to realize what time we're living in, because we're seeing a lot of things happening that aren't good. And so there needs to be a response from us. And I know we can respond to that and the natural, do things in the natural that can change things. But for the most part, when the Bible talks about end times, when the Bible talks about difficult times, when the Bible talks about times that we find are dire, that there is a response that Christians are to respond to. There's always a higher calling for us as Christians. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the Bible will talk about all the things that are happening in the world to show us as Christians that that's not the way that we should go. Sometimes as Christians, we respond exactly as the world is responding, and God is wanting us to respond differently. There's always a higher calling for Christians. And I know we've used this verse, the last three Sundays, but 2 Chronicles 7:14, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and restore their land. And so as we look at all the things that are happening in our society today, there is a response that we should be having as Christians, and it's not to be like the world's. It's to be like God is calling us to do, to pray, to seek his face, to turn from our wicked ways, to be listening to what heaven is saying at this time, that God might forgive us and that God himself would restore our land. Now, I realize sometimes people hate hearing that verse, especially Christians, lukewarm Christians, really hate that verse. But it's a very true verse. It really kind of gets us back to the basics of our faith, that that's where we all need to go, to come to that place of seeking the Lord this time, calling on him and asking him to intervene during this time. I know personally for myself, I've been really sensing and feeling to pray more, to fast some as well. Why does it? To make myself feel more spiritual? No, not at all. It's because there's just so many things that are happening out there. I really don't know what else to do but to pray and to call on the name of the Lord and to seek him more. And I believe that's something that all of us need to be doing. And, you know, during times like this, some things need to change for us. Some things need to, priorities and things of that nature need to change, because things are serious right now in our society. And, you know, we need to do some serious prayer, serious commitment, and really make sure that our hearts stay right through this. I told you I've been reading this book. I finished that book, actually started on another one. But this man, James Gall, he has a book called Revival Breakthrough. And there was one little paragraph that was in there that kind of really stuck out to me. And it talks about our response and what we should be doing as we look at the things that are happening in our society today. And this is what he says. He says, when we face dire times, we need to repent of our sins, reset our priorities, recalibrate our focus, recover our devotion to God, and experience God's presence and power and restoration. And that really jumped out to me. And of course, I like that because it has points, right? And you know that I like points in my sermon. And so as I was looking at that, I said, you know what? I think this would be a great little message to expound upon that little paragraph and what it really means to do those things. And so that's what I want to share with you about some things that we can be doing as we face our difficulties, as we face our season that we're in today. And some of these things, I think, for us to contemplate would be good for all of us. Now, one of the first things that we're encouraged to consider regarding this gentleman in difficult times is to look at the area of repentance. And that one there kind of caught me a little bit off guard and was thinking like, well, that's a little different of why look to repentance? Why look to that first? But, you know, repentance is something that's very important in the Bible. And it certainly is a good place for us to look at ourselves and to see if there's anything that we ourselves need to repent of. To repent means to have a sincere and deep regret, a deep remorse over something we did that was wrong, a sorrow that leads to changes in our lives, a turnaround in our lives. And so when we think of repentance as Christians, well, we've already gone there. We've already repented of our sins. We asked Jesus to come into our lives, but I think we all realize we still sin. We still make mistakes. We still do things that we shouldn't do. And so it's good to take some time to look at ourselves and maybe ask the Lord and say, Lord, is there anything I need to repent of? And I find as you do simple prayers like that, if there is something, it comes to you really quick. There'll be a thought that'll just hit you so quick, and then you know that's the God speaking to you that, yeah, this is an area that you need to repent of. It's not something that you just, you know, dwell on and think on and, you know, go through a long process. No, it's very quick. But you ask the Lord out of a sincere heart, God, is there anything I need to repent of? You know, sometimes we can be pointing the finger and looking at other people and thinking this and thinking that. And sometimes God might be saying to you, maybe you're part of the reason they're like that. Maybe there's something that you need to repent of because of that situation. And so a good thing to do is take a moment, pray to the Lord, and just ask that simple question, Lord, is there anything I need to repent of? Because sometimes we miss things. Sometimes there's things that have happened in our lives that we like to bury, you know, and try to cover up. We don't want to think about those things. And when God brings things to our remembrance like that, it's not to condemn us. It's not to make us feel, oh, that we're guilty or that we're terrible. God does that so that we can be more free in our lives, and it removes hindrances in our lives as well. And so it can be quite an enlightening thing just to do that and to come to that place where we repent of anything that the Lord might show to us. Acts 17, 30, 31, just talking about that importance of repentance. It says, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. But now he commands everyone, everywhere, to repent of their sins and turn to him. And we usually stop there when we refer to that. But it goes on to say, for he has set a day of judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, that's Christ Jesus, and he proved everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. So there's kind of a reminder there. There is a day of judgment. There is a day of accountability that we all will face. And each of us will give an account for the things that we have done. And so when we see things happening in our world and we know that, you know, hey, man, I think Jesus could come back at any time, there should be a healthy fear, not to be scared of it, but a healthy fear to recognize, man, I need to look at some things in my life. I need to deal with some things in my life. And maybe there's some things that, you know, I'm missing. And so to pray that prayer, say, God, show me anything maybe that I'm missing. Because I want to have a clean heart before my God. You know, and so in troubling times, kind of good to do an examination of ourselves and to see if there's anywhere where maybe we need to repent of some things and to take that seriously. You know, Psalm 139, 23, 24, beautiful prayer, lots of beautiful prayers in the book of Psalms. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So good to ask the Lord, search me. Search me, God. I want to be clean before you. I don't want there to be anything interfering in our relationship, and I want to get closer to you. And part of that as we come to repentance is also confession. Confession and repentance, they go together. And you know, sometimes there's some things we need to confess to the Lord and acknowledge that, yes, I did wrong. So when the Lord shows you something that you need to repent of, it's kind of a good response would be like, Lord, I acknowledge that. I recognize that. I see that, Lord. I'm sorry. And we ask God to forgive us. We're not talking about going here to people or finding people that we offended or whatever. This is between you and God. If God's showing you something, you deal with it with him. And it's between you and him. But when he shows you something, acknowledge it. Confess it and say, yes, God, I see that. I'm sorry. I never saw it before, Lord. I'm really sorry that I didn't. But God, I'm asking that you would forgive me. And, you know, the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness or all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So there can be a fresh cleansing, a new freedom as we deal with that area of repentance. Again, this is not to make you feel bad. This is not to make you feel guilty. This is not to make you feel condemned, because that's what the enemy does. God brings to light those things in our lives that we can come into a new freedom and a new liberty and to be freed from these hindrances that may be in our lives. And so to welcome a fresh cleansing in our lives through this whole area of repentance, that's a good thing. It really is. And so if the Lord is speaking to you today, maybe you need to ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything I need to repent of? And if something comes to you quick, then also respond quickly. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I recognize I did do that, Lord. And I'm sorry about that, and I ask you to forgive me. So kind of helps us to come before the Lord with a clean heart. And that's always a good thing to do during times of uncertainty and times of difficulty. Second thing that he mentioned in that book, he says that we need to do is to reset our priorities. Change some things. To reset means to set again. Means to start over, start anew. To produce renewal in one's life. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can get stagnant or cold in our relationship with God. And get to that place where nothing seems to be happening with God or in our relationship. And that's something, you don't want to stay in that place where you're not growing in your relationship with God. And if you're feeling where that your relationship with God is not where it really should be, then this is what he's talking about. It's time for a reset. Time to reset some priorities in your life again. And, you know, because life does have a way, and difficult times definitely has a way of crowding out God. And, you know, it doesn't just happen, you know, purposely that we just, you know, allow God to kind of get a little further away from ourselves. It's usually a gradual thing, but those difficult times can create that, or our busyness or whatever we might be doing. And so it's always good to be looking to God, say, God, is there any area of my life I need to reset? Sometimes those are questions we don't want to ask because we already know the answer, that yeah, there is, and that we need to do so. We need to get back to pursuing and prioritizing God. I love the prayers of King David. I think most people identify with King David and the prayers that he prayed. And he had a beautiful prayer. I like to pray this prayer. I like to sing this prayer. Psalm 51, 10 and 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. I love that prayer because it's a prayer of reset. Create in me a clean heart. Lord, I don't want to be the same here anymore. I just need a new cleansing to take place. I need a new reset to take place in my life, and in my heart. And God will do that. God will help us. God will give us a fresh touch. He honors those kinds of prayer. Apostle Paul, he also spoke about that as well. Ephesians 4:21-23 says, "Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes." And again, a reset is a renewing that takes place in your life. And to invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life and renew your thoughts and attitudes. And I think we all can understand that. Sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. When you were a kid, your parents sometimes helped you out with an attitude adjustment. Well, as we get older, sometimes as parents and as adults, we still need some attitude adjustments. And so it's good to ask our Heavenly Father, "Lord, I need some renewing of some thoughts. I need some renewing to take place in my life." Ask the Holy Spirit to bring a reset for you, that you might serve him with a fresh start, a fresh experience, something that's not just what it used to be, but something that's far greater than what it used to be. Third, in responding to difficult times, this gentleman talked about a need of recalibration in our lives. And again, you know, sometimes we need to make changes. Sometimes trials, difficulties do get the best of us. And we get frustrated, and when we get frustrated, we usually do or say things we probably shouldn't do or shouldn't say. And so to recalibrate is to change the way we think about something, is to adjust our behavior, to adjust our thinking. And we're to do that to be more in line with what God is thinking or what God wants or what God desires. So to recalibrate is to make changes and to make corrections in our lives. And one of those areas that we need to make recalibration from time to time is in our thinking and some of our attitudes. And certainly we know that the enemy will always attack first in the area of our thoughts. And the temptations will first come as thoughts, not as deeds, but first as thoughts. And if we yield to the temptation, that's when we sin, when we actually do something that is wrong. And so sometimes we need a recalibration in our thinking. And you know, we need to realize there's been a huge, huge attack in people's thinking that has been happening over these last 10 years. And the media and news and all those kinds of things are trying to reprogram people. Well, that's not the reprogramming we need. We need the reprogramming to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to turn our lives back to him. And so sometimes we need a recalibration of how we're thinking. Because sometimes we allow our thinking to get out of control and, you know, we start responding just like the world does. And again, there's a higher calling for us. Philippians 4:8 says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." And so that's some pretty great advice right there. Lord, help me to be thinking about those things. And, you know, in our conversations and are times when we're alone with ourselves and we're thinking of things, to kind of bring it back into this portion of scripture and say, is what I'm thinking in line with what the Word of God is saying? Another area of recalibration is our focus on priorities in our lives. And, you know, life is busy. It's just way too busy, and it is so easy to get distracted and to get involved in so many things that all of a sudden we find ourselves that, oh, man, I didn't even bother to pray today. I didn't even have time to read the Word of God today. And just things of that nature can just slowly creep in and slowly push God out. And so sometimes we need a recalibration there of our priorities. And you know, again, to examine ourselves and to ask the Lord, God, is there anything I need to do with recalibration in my life? Hebrews 12:1-2, it says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Doesn't say sin here. It's just talking about anything that's slowing you down. And then it goes on to say, and then especially the sin that so easy trips us up. Let us run with the endurance, the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. You know, sometimes we need some adjustments in our lives. Sometimes we need to strip off some things, get rid of some things, and get our eyes and our focus back on Jesus. And so maybe you're here today and kind of maybe to pray that prayer, God, is there some adjustments I need to be making in my life? Or is there some recalibrations that I need to be making, some changes, some corrections in my life that I need to be making? Because we are in those dire times. Ask the Lord. Lord, is there anything that I need to make that adjustment? Then fourth, in responding to difficult times, we need to seek to recover our devotion to God. Maybe we're recognizing that we're not where we should be spiritually. Maybe we're starting to recognize that we've lost some of that excitement in serving the Lord. And that can be a big thing. That can be a big area in people's lives where they kind of lost that first love with God. So to recover is to regain possession of something that has been lost or stolen. To recover is to get back to where your relationship should be with God and to return back to that hunger that you once had. And again, you know, difficult times can rob us of our fervency in serving the Lord. And so it's good to take time to reflect in our lives to see if we have strayed away or even if we've lost some of that spiritual fervor or even if we've gone very far to the other end where we've totally walked away from God. The message in the Church of Revelation, it warns us that, you know, this is something that we need to be concerned about, to recover that which was lost spiritually in our lives. Revelations 2, 4 and 5. It says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. And so if we're finding ourselves that we've fallen away, or if we lost some of that spiritual fervor, if we've lost some of that spiritual fire in our lives, or even lost that desire and love for one another, the Bible says, get it back. Get it back. Turn back to the Lord. Get back to what you used to were doing, where you were hot for God and desired more of God. Revelation 3, 1 and 3, another message to the churches. It says, I know all the things you do, that you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. So again, we're being reminded to recover, take back what the enemy has stole from you. So wherever the enemy has stole from you, sometimes it might be the enemy's work, sometimes it might have been people, might have been a situation, might have been a church circumstance that maybe kind of got you upset and you've kind of cooled that whole experience with God. Well, the Bible says, get it back. Get it back. Recover it. Recover that which was lost. And so as we're praying here today and looking at ourselves today, maybe there's some things that we need to recover. Maybe some things happen. You know, not every, you know, throughout life you're going to have occasions and things that will take place that are not pleasant. And sometimes, you know, things happen to us from people that we love and our whole world can get turned upside down. But that can affect our fire for God. And the Bible's telling us, recover it. Recover your fire. If you had a fire before and you don't have it anymore, you need to get it recovered. You need to go into the recovery program, get it back. Take back what the enemy stole. And you know what? And as you do that, God can restore the years that you lost and move in greater ways in the years that you have left to do a far greater work than you would have done even before. And so, again, not to be looking at these things that, oh, you're feeling condemned, I'm feeling convicted, oh, I've been terrible. God wants you to get past all of that to say, let's look forward to what you can do now. Not what you did in your past, not about your mistakes. What can I do in your life now? And recover and get back that fire in your life. And then lastly, in a response to difficult times, this gentleman talked about seeking restoration. And that's especially important if we found ourselves that we've grown cold, or that we're further away from God, or we're away from that original passion. You know, sometimes people, you know, we reflect on how excited people were when they got saved, and sometimes that's our testimony and all these great things that happen. And then we enter life, and slowly but surely, life takes its toll on us. We need to, again, get back to that passion. Get back to that passion. And not just the passion that was lost, but a greater passion. God wants to lead us into a greater passion than what we've ever had for Him. So to restore is to bring back to a former condition, or to bring back to original condition. But for me personally, I think we need to go back, go further than that, just not back to original condition, but better condition. Because I believe God has greater and better things for us. So if you find yourselves being damaged or broken from trials throughout the years, or maybe you're going through something right now that's just robbing you of your faith and your passion for God, well, it's time to get it back. Time to get back where we were happy and excited about our relationship with God. Seek a revival of your faith and ask God to restore you to a place where you will be better than what you were even when you were excited for God. So maybe you're here today, or maybe you're listening online, and you know you're not where you should be with God. And if you're honest, maybe you've even gone to that place where you've actually fallen away from God. Well, the good news is God wants to restore you. He doesn't want to condemn you. He doesn't want to point His finger on you and say how bad you are and why did you do that? You shouldn't have done that. God's interested in restoring you. And that's what we need to be looking for. We need to seek that restoration. Again, King David, always great prayers. When you don't know what to pray, man, just get into the book of Psalms again. There's just so many prayers in there. Psalm 51, 12, 13 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you." Get your joy back. Man, don't just keep going in your Christian walk and you feel like the joy is gone. Well, get it back. God can help restore your joy of your salvation, of your experience with God. And God wants to bring you back to that place. You know, there's a part of that verse that we don't like to read, or we kind of miss. We just kind of do the first part. I like that second part. It says, "Then I'm going to teach your ways to rebels, and they're going to return to you." And I think, like, yes, because that's exactly what we were. When we've fallen away from God, we've become a rebel. And so as we're praying to God, say, "God, restore me, restore the joy." Yeah, well, that's what He's doing. He's going to restore the joy, and He restores the joy in you. Guess what? It's going to affect somebody else. It's going to affect some people that are around you that maybe they're in the same boat. Maybe they followed you as well, or you followed them. But when they see you return back to having the joy of the Lord in your life, it's going to cause them to also want that joy and also bring back rebels to serve the Lord once again. Another prayer that's there. Psalm 13, 1 to 3. It says, "Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die." I think that's a beautiful prayer. Lord, I pray you'd restore the sparkle to my eyes about serving you, Jesus. Man, you know, you can tell that when you're with people. You look in their eyes. Eyes tell a whole lot of things. And man, there's a sparkle in people's eyes when they're hot for God. I tell you, there is. It's so easy to see. Well, that's why we need to be praying that and say, God, grant me that or I die. Like, Lord, this is all in. I'm all in, God. I do not want to go back. I do not want to keep living the way I'm living. God, restore that sparkle in my life or I'll die. Get real desperate. And you know what? Those kinds of prayers really do get God's attention. Restoration. God's in the business of restoring. He's a good God. And so this morning, you know, I kind of hope that these little thoughts here touched your heart and that maybe something spoke to you or ministered to you. Maybe you heard God's voice really quick speak something back to you. I want you to understand, most important, that God is not condemning you. God is not wanting, you know, to put a heavy on you. God's not trying to make you feel guilty. Not at all. God is touching us so he can bring us out of those feelings into a new joy, a new enthusiasm, a new experience with him. See, God wants to help us. He wants to bless us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to do even a greater work in us. And you know, as you think about what he wants to do in us, we also think about our loved ones. I'm sure everybody in here has a family member or a loved one that is not in the right place with God. Well, we can apply these things here as well. Start praying into those things. God, I'm praying for restoration in their life. I'm praying, Lord, you do a new recalibration to take place in their life. That you're going to bring something new into life, turn them around and bring them back, not just to what they used to be, to but something far greater and more powerful than they ever have. And I believe, you know what? I believe that God is going to bring back a lot of backsliders. And we're going to see them come back to the church and see them with a greater enthusiasm than what we saw before they left. And so pray for that. Believe for that. That's what God does. So we are living in difficult and dire times. We need to be aware of that. There's lots of things happening in the natural, and there's certainly a lot of things happening in those spiritual realms. It's time for us to look to him, to draw close to him, to prepare ourselves, that we would be a light and to our world. You know, our world is looking for answers right now. All over the place, man, like people are looking. Of course, they're looking in a lot of wrong places. But if we would be the light, that light will start shining. They're looking in darkness for help. They're not going to find help in darkness. But as they start seeing people of the light starting to shine, and we start having the fire of God inside of us, they're going to notice. They're going to see something and say, that's what I need. That's what I need. That's what's going to give me a sparkle back in my eyes again. So may we take some time, look to the Lord, ask him some of those questions, saying, Lord, search me, O God. Know my heart today. And Lord, do a work inside of me that is far greater than it ever has been. I pray that for myself. I want God to move in me far greater than he has throughout my life. I want to see the future that, you know, that I'm hotter for God than what I was when I first came to Christ. I want to have more of Christ inside of me than what I had before. I want to experience more of him than what I had before. Because I know there's more. I know there's a whole lot more. And that's what I'm praying for in my own life. I pray that you would do that as well.